Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Season 2 of Overwhelming Joy. This is Motivational Monday. Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us. We're going to begin in the Word in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse 1 through verse 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The first thing I recognized and I wrote down is God is over time. God is everywhere and in everything. And for everything, there is a season. So I want to stop right there and just give acknowledgement to God for the season He has me in. I want you to acknowledge God for the season He has you in. He knew you would be in this season. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, go down to verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Can you see the beauty in this season? Are you facing things in this season that are hard? Are you still able to see the blessings and the beauty in this season despite the hardships? And remember, it is a season. But there is a reason we go through the blessings and the burdens. Can we find Him in each season? And then the rest of verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. To me, what that says is He has compelled us to seek after Him, but we will never know or understand His ways. But we don't need to. We need to trust His ways. We don't have to understand them. And in each season we are in, it is harder to understand it as we're going through it. I don't know about you, but the rear view vantage is a lot easier than sometimes looking forward. When I look back, sometimes I can see it and go, oh, now I understand. But it's releasing that control of the need to know that is not ours to ask. We need to know the who has control, not the what. So from Ecclesiastes 3, I want you to join me in recognizing there is purpose in every season and that God has purposed us in each season and that we're not in this season by mistake. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians, end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. Let's start with chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So So we're talking to believers. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We, Paul talking, implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, Jesus, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, working together with him, we then appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So let's look at this. Basically, it's talking to believers at the very end of chapter 5 in saying that as Christians, we are dead to our old selves. We are now new in Christ. The old has been removed from us by the death of Christ on the cross. His blood shed for us has reconciled us to God, as in made a way. Without the shedding of the blood, there would be no way for us to come to God. But if we recognize that Christ is the Son of God, Christ came to earth, died for our sins, to make a way for us to be with him in eternity. If we believe that, and we are entrusted with that message, therefore, in verse 20 then, we should be going out and telling others. We should be ambassadors for Christ. We should be making that appeal to others, like, do you know, do you know, do you know, do you know God is real? Do you know Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that all you have to do is ask him into your heart and you are reconciled, you are made new, the old has passed away? So, now what does that have to do with Ecclesiastes? First of all, we have to recognize that he is in and over each season we are in. And then we have to recognize, no matter what season we are in, we are still called to be fellow workers with God, God's servants, no matter the season. It's not like if we're in a good season that we're really happy and really blessed and not a lot of hard things are coming our way, then that's when we can serve God and work with zeal. And then like the hard seasons, it's like, give me a break, God. You're not really asking me to go out and do things now, right? I'm in a hard season. No. One, he is over all seasons. Two, we are called as Christians to be servants and fellow workers with him in whatever situation, circumstance, and season you are in. Still join in community. Still study and read his word. Still have daily time to commune with him. Pray, seek, join a church. Be compelled to explore and know him more. Ask the hard questions. Ask him why you're in this season. You can ask. Ask him how he wants you to serve. But recognize first and foremost the sovereignty that he is with you in that season, that he knows you're in that season, and that he still called you to himself and to others out of that season. Now, one of, if not my most favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 46:10. Let's go there. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. What I love to do is flip it and remind myself, I am God. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. Be still. Now, let's go back and layer this upon each other. God is in every season we are in with us. He has called us as servants of His to be fellow workers with Him. But to know how to do that, to have that capacity, to have that capability, to have that call, to have that calm, to have that trust, to have that overwhelming joy, despite how we are being overwhelmed, we have to be still and know God and trust the I Am. Without that, we don't have the foundation and the faith to achieve working and serving Him in every season. It's dependent on our faith and our foundation in our belief in Him, that's where the fruit comes, out of that foundation of belief and our faith in Him. Now, let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. And you may think, well, now, how does this one fit? Proverbs 22, 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. It's the old, spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, what that speaks to is discipline. If we know, if each of us know that discipline is prudent, that there is a reason for parameters, that we discipline our kids out of love. We don't discipline them to be evil or mean or to make their temper flare or to make them cry. We discipline them because they don't know any better. That's why folly is bound up in the heart of a child. It's only through discipline that we can help curb their sin nature and set some parameters to help them be more responsible and willing to do the right thing. So what does that have to do with us? We have to recognize that God's discipline in our own lives is out of the same love. He's wanting us to make those same right decisions. He has to keep us from the wrong path by showing us the right path. But it does often come with conviction. It does often come with us having to seek forgiveness. It does often come with us having to surrender our own will. Like we're the spoiled little brat children that we've all seen and raised. We also have to seek to discipline ourselves. There are a handful of women and I that over the summer and on into this fall are creating an accountability circle. We meet here in my living room and we are disciplining ourselves. We're disciplining our time. We're disciplining our body. We're disciplining our mind. We're disciplining our actions by aligning ourselves with the truth of God's word. So what I offer you is to think about seeking out a community group, a life group, a Bible study, a mentor, just one or two other women that will hold you accountable. That's all we do. We do a check-in. Once a month, we meet together. Once a month, we meet together in the living room. But each week we aren't meeting, we have made ourselves accountable to each other to still check in. We're choosing to use the free version of Marco Polo. But each week, and each of us get to choose the day and the time that is best for us, but each week, we do a weekly check-in. We just vulnerably and honestly admit to each other, this is where we are. This is what we're doing. This is my progress. This is where God has revealed that I need to make a change. This is the blessing of what is working. This is where I'm still trying. There's no guilt. It's not about failure. It's not about what we can't do. We are cheering each other on for what we are doing. And it's huge. It's huge to know you have someone praying for you. It's huge to know that you have someone that is holding you accountable to being better than you might be alone. It is so much easier to do it in community. I am leading a group on once a month, Mondays, at New Life Church Fayetteville. And it's the same idea that once a month we are going to gather together in community at the church. But in the weeks off the month that we are not meeting together, I am offering them optional paths that they can choose to pursue God on their own. But I am offering them the chance to find one or two other women from the large community that gathers on site to be accountable to on those off weeks. Exactly what my group has been doing throughout the summer, that's continuing to do it in the fall. So if you are listening and you don't have a group, that you don't live in Northwest Arkansas, or you can't come on Mondays, I ask that you sincerely pray about who God may bring to mind for you to reach out to and literally say, hey, would you be my accountability partner? Would you read the Word of God with me? And could we talk about it? It's as simple as that. And you might say, well, I don't even know where to start. Well, I want you to know the four verses that I just read with you and we have just discussed is day 245 from the YouVersion 1-year Bible plan. I made the commitment along with my husband to do this plan this year. We started in January. This that I was telling you about is day 245. I am authentically on day 247, but I chose to share with you 245. I get up and do this every day. It tells me what to read, but the Holy Spirit reveals from His Word what it is that I need to sit in and ponder, be encouraged by. So for any of you that are looking for something to read, I offer you that. It's a simple, go to YouVersion, find a different plan, or start doing the 1-year Bible. And there's so many different versions. If you are with us on Monday nights at New Life Church, I'm going to be offering you something to read throughout the month. You can choose that, or like this, do something on your own. It doesn't matter. Just get into the Word of God. But if you are wanting an accountability partner, it is very helpful that you are both reading the same thing. So honestly, if you're compelled to start this journey this fall, pray about who it is, or you may already know who it is. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a sibling. It could be one of your kids. It could be a lady from work. It could be a lady from church. It could be a family member that lives in another state. But first, identify the person, reach out to them, meet with them, see if they would join you in this. Maybe they're just waiting for a partner. Then maybe together find what you are going to start doing. What's the common thread from the Word of God that you all are going to study together and be accountable to? Now, let's recap all of this that we just read through into one overarching question that we can sit in until we meet again next week. Here's the question that prayerfully came to mind when I was just seeking the Holy Spirit's revelation from these passages from this day. Will I be satisfied to serve God in the stillness of the season I am in? Will I be satisfied to serve God in the stillness of the season I am in? I pray that you join me in pondering what that looks like for you. How do we crave to be satisfied, content, to serve God in the stillness of the season we are in right now? May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.